We thank God for keeping us until this day. We had great experiences a few weeks, say this week and last week, because the other week it was announced here that Maji has passed our own. And when I went home, I found that one of the people I worked with, we actually worked with Esther, when we were overseers of the cities in Zimbabwe. One lady was gone. The wife of the other pastor I came with one night here, the one who said he was the pastor of 1,500 a congregation. And another distant sister of mine also died the same day. And another pastor's wife, who worked under us as well, died that same day. And that was the day again when the mother of the world, like the queen, died. So it was really a terrible week just to think about death. Esther had to attend three successive funerals in Zimbabwe because the wife of the other pastor who came here one day was her secretary for 10 years in the Women's League. So it was really a week of experiences. To us Christians, we know there is hope because we know that we can go anytime. That's why we are here today at the church attending this service, because we are equipping ourselves so that we be ready to go any time when we are called. Like our sister Maji is gone. It's gone from us, from here. You remember the other year when Yvonne left us as well? She was telling us that I can't eat, I can't do this, I can't do this. Definitely we knew she was going. And she was very confident and she was very hopeful. So that's why we are Christians, brothers and sisters. Today I thought of just narrating a story of this great missionary who was called Apostle Paul. He was not automatically an apostle. He was in the team of those people who were arresting Christians who were being martyrs, who were killed. So, but God worked in a special way. He was struck by lightning on his way to arrest the Christians so that they can be martyred. Jesus Christ told him straightway that you're fighting against me, and was told what to do from there. And he was baptized within 3 days. And from there on, he started to work. Christians were running away from him in the beginning. But later on, they started to have confidence in him to see that he is truthfully now changed. The history about him tells us that he was a unique. That's what he says. But the tradition tells us that he was married because of his qualifications to be a member of the Sanhedrin. It wouldn't qualify one to be a member of the Sanhedrin if he was not married. So people assume that he was married with maybe 2 children, sort of. That is tradition anyway. Paul is one person who claimed that he came into he saw things which were too transcendental to him, to his life, because he said, I don't know whether it was me in the body or it was a dream or what, but it might have taken 3 years or so when he was in this experience. That's why when he writes his epistles, actually, the Pauline epistles, when he writes, he claims that I am an apostle of Jesus Christ, not by the will of man, but by the will of God. He tries by all means to distinguish himself and to exclude himself from the way other apostles were called, because he has to defend himself first why he is an apostle. So he repeatedly, when he opens up on his epistle, that Paul, a servant of God, who is not called by the will of man, but by the will of God, I am an apostle by the will of God, not by the will of man. He defends himself always in his epistles when he starts his salutation. I don't know whether people are aware of that. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, that's where he speaks about a thorn in the flesh. Because he is known as one of the persons who had a very weak body. He was sickly, maybe a little bit blind. Maybe his body was weary the whole of his life. So he was not a very strong person in physically, but he was weak. And he also claims when he was facing the Corinthian church, which was an enthusiastic church, he wrote them twice. He tells them that, although I am so weak, although I am so blind, you are so patient with me. Something like that, because other people were helping him, even if he looked like blind. But he claims that he had a thorn in the flesh as well, which many people, they don't know what thorn that was in his flesh. The thorn in the flesh was his body, because he says that I prayed to God 3 times, but God answered and said, my grace is sufficient to you. Whatever you are, it's by grace, because you don't deserve it. That's what God was telling him, because he participated in the killing of the Christians before. So now he was sharing the good news of God, particularly the number one to the Gentiles. That was Paul. So God's grace was sufficient to him. So he was, when he was praying for this healing, for this thorn in the flesh to be taken out, God answered him and said, don't worry. I'm strengthened in weaknesses. That's what God said. So my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul accepted that. And he was happy about that. When his days were drawing nigh to die, he knew it. Because he was like he was spiritually prophetic, or God was telling him. You know, he put some rules to the church, which other people are still using them doctrinally. They didn't know the reason why Paul was using those. But Paul, when he writes, in most cases, he says, it's not me who is saying this, it's the Lord. But in most other cases, he says that, it's me who is saying this. But other people, carelessly, they made doctrines out of what Paul was teaching. When he says, it's not the Lord who is saying this, it's me. People need to watch why he's saying so. Because one other thing, what Paul was like. Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles, and meaning that he didn't put it as a priority, this thing of the Jews, which was called circumcision. But Peter was for it, because when he was with the Jews, he didn't want the Jews to know that he could eat with the Gentiles who were uncircumcised. So Paul challenged him one day, and they disagreed forever. So they had 2 differences, Paul and Peter. So Paul became an apostle to the Gentiles, because they had so many which they were doing, which Peter also was told by Jesus Christ to consider these things. Although he ignored some of them, he was told by Jesus Christ to, when this big big container came down with all animals of the world, with all crippling things of the world. He was told three times. And he rejected these things three times. You know, Peter was used to deny, he denied Jesus three times. But he confessed to Jesus Christ three times as well, agreeing that he was going to feed the flock. So Jesus came again when he was praying in the book of Corinthians, when he was praying in the afternoon, bringing this big container with all this, and when he said, kill and eat, slaughter and eat. He said, Lord, I've never eaten all these dirty things in my life. Then it came again. Things, I never eaten all these things. Then it came again. Then he saw that if it comes three times, it means it. So although it was like that, he started to preach to the Gentiles like Cornelius and other people. He baptized Gentiles as well. He's the same who said this gospel, or he said, God is no respecter of persons, whether it's a servant, whether it's a boss, whether it's a man, whether it's a woman, something. God is no respecter of, but he considers all of them the same. That is what Peter ended up saying, you see. But Paul there, they differed as well. Because Paul, on his opinion, because Paul was a unique, of which he didn't tell us why he was a unique. But I think when he was struck by lightning there, it affected him from there. That's where his body became so weak totally, forever. So, but he just said, by the will of God, you know, I am a unique. I wish everybody would not marry. But because of this and this anyway, somebody can have his own wife. That's what he said. But he was not happy about seeing people getting married. And he was not happy about seeing women in the congregation. He even told Timothy, and I said, you, Timothy, don't you listen to the fables of the old women and of the women. Don't you listen to them. Yeah. All this juicy, what. He was telling Timothy. But why? Timothy was listening to his grandmother. Timothy was listening to his grandmother. Timothy was listening to his mother as well. But Paul is telling him, don't listen to this. You know, he was totally about all these women and how they dressed. He challenged their dressing. They should cover their heads. They should do all this. Yeah, that is me. That's what he was saying. So there are so many doctrines in the world today because on how people accept the scriptures, how they follow the scriptures. They don't listen how these things are being put in there, how they are brought up there. They just follow and follow. Well, I've got a verse, the verse says this. I've got a verse, the verse says this. There are so many doctrines. I'm just trying to describe a Paul, one of the greatest missionaries, the great writer of the New Testament. I think he had more than 15 books in the New Testament. So nobody wrote so many books like him in the New Testament. That was Paul. So briefly, I'm telling you about Paul. What we heard being read there, it was about Paul. And Paul, where Damon read first, it was in the book of Timothy, where Paul is talking about, I have finished the race. I'm about to die. I'm waiting for my prize. But I have fought a good fight. That's what Paul says. So confident, you know. He knew he was about to die. But he says, I finished the race. You know, the race. Or let me talk about boxing. When these two guys are beating each other like this one. Who is this one? The one who was beaten recently, this English guy. Who is he? Anton Joshua. Our Anton Joshua was beaten, you know. He didn't sleep. I know he was watching careful to see that Anton Joshua was going to land it. So Anton Joshua was beaten. So it is a race like that which Paul was describing. He took himself as somebody right in the race, as I take myself as well as I am in the race. How I was discussing these religious things with the guys of the Muslims where I've been working recently, when they were telling me that I have to convert to Islam, and I was telling them to convert to Christianity. So that is a race, actually. It's all doctrinally, which came up from the preachers previously. So Paul here, as a follower of Jesus Christ, the person who had seen Jesus Christ, is saying, I have finished my race. I fought a good fight. If you fought a good fight, it means that you are winning, you are a winner. You've seen the athlete, our British athlete, those who were getting gold, some getting silver, some getting bronze. It was so exciting. I remember when I used to see Boris Johnson when we had something in West Ham there in London, when many British people won, everybody was happy about them. So we are in the race to heaven. Although we are all Christians, but we need to see how we go there. Paul says that, I finished my course. And most of us have finished their course here. I don't know how old we are, all of us, but we are almost there because you can go any time. Myself, I have considered myself that I can go any time. That's what I always try to teach my children. Last night we had a wedding there of my other daughter. You know, Brooks, the little boy, the mother and dad were getting married there yesterday. We spent the whole day enjoying ourselves in Oxford. So this is what I'm just trying to tell us. Paul, when he is speaking about this, about the prize, we have to pursue the prize. You can't just get a prize. Nobody will just hand it over to you. Say, hey, you've got a prize, having done nothing. Where I have been working throughout, I was trying to keep a very good discipline so that the company will trust in me, the managers will trust me, the clients will trust me. Then by so doing, you'll find yourself, your name is there. One day, then people wonder why your name is there. People are observant, they see what's happening in you. So we have to pursue the prize. And like Paul said, pursue the prize. We have to persist in self-control. Self-control, where he read, Paul says that I don't beat by the bush, or it's like you go fishing. When you go fishing, you throw the rod where you think there are fish. If there are fish, but if you start by throwing stones, the fish will go away. Then when you throw the rod, you can't catch anything. You'll catch nothing. So that's what Paul is saying, that I am beating by the bush. If I am beating by the bush, you are not going to get anything. Beating by the air, you are not going to get anything. When you beat, make sure you beat on the point. When that blow landed on Johnson, or who is this? On our boxer here, he fell down. He was down. So it means that the person is not beating the air. You hit the target. Then the target will give you a credit, will give you points, will give you a prize, something like that. So you pursue the prize, you persist in self-control, then you have to persevere to glory. Persevering to glory is when you become number one. Then they give you a gold medal. or they gave you something which is so beautiful, the number one thing, you are the first person to get this one, you are the winner. Then the queen used to give them these medals, those people who have worked very well. In the other chapter where Sister Estella read, this is John now. John, when Peter was saying, what about these other disciples? Then Jesus said, if you wish, these other disciples can live until I come back. So Jesus came in the revelation to John. So John wrote the book of Revelation. But where our sister read there in chapter 14, verse 13, it says, blessed are those who are dead. Blessed are those who are dead. Can you see people, dead people getting blessings? It means that living people can be cursed at the same time, opposite way. So there are those people who are dead, but they are blessed. Why so? He says that because their works are followed, their good works are following them. That's what the verse says. Even if they are dead, their good works are following them. Even in the book of the faithfuls, in the book of Hebrew, you find that it says that their good works are following them, even if they are dead. Like people like Abel, their good works are following them, even if they are dead. So, brothers and sisters, speaking about the situation which we have, I saw people getting in the queue for 9 hours, 8 hours in London, walking the whole day just to pass by the coffin of the Queen, in paying respect to the mother they loved. So they are gone. But I know the Queen was a faithful person. He was they call him defender of faith. That's what they call her, defender of faith. Do we defend our faith? Defender of faith, the Queen was. That's why there are so many cathedrals around there. That's why she attended the services on Sundays or other days or other memorials around the world. The Queen had a priori on those things. Those were his priority. She knew God, the Lord, so no doubt where she is. We know she was always, she dressed nicely, decently. I don't know whether it was the Anglo-Saxon style, but my wife loved it as well. Loved the Queen very much, the way she dressed and so forth. Yeah, so I loved the Queen as well. I love the King, so. I heard the Welsh people say things. No. Yeah, I love the King, but not his wife. Some of them were saying so. I don't know why they were saying so. So, when we remember our dead, guys, we remember our dead. We remember our sister, Margie. I remember our sisters in Zimbabwe as well who died the same day. And we remember our Queen here. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for bringing us as your church. We thank you, Lord, for keeping us until these days to experience these circumstances where we see our brothers and sisters going in faith, and we know that they are in your hands. Father, it is encouraging to us who claim are Christians. We know we are following them to where they are. We are following their faith. In Jesus' name, bless us all. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.